Wes Chandler joins us on Sports Byline. Fine former wide receiver who played 11 seasons in the NFL, first four with New Orleans and then San Diego and San Francisco. He was taken in the first round after an All-American career at the University of Florida. He was the third overall pick in the draft, and he is widely considered to be one of the best all-around football players to ever come out of the University of Florida. You know, Wes, when I was looking up your career, I saw a little item. It said Chandler is one of the 100 greatest players of the first 100 years of Florida high school football. That's a high compliment. Take me back to your high school days in Florida.
Well, my high school days, I was actually a high school running back, believe it or not. And we threw the ball an extreme amount of times. And most of the times when we threw the ball, of course, we went to an empty set, and that put me, being the running back, outside a lot of times. And I was just fortunate to have great hands. And so probably started from there. And when I signed with the University of Florida, ironically, I signed as a wide receiver. And I was recruited by Nat Moore, believe it or not, who at the time was a Florida running back, and he was in his senior year, and he later on went to Miami Dolphins as a wide receiver. He was drafted by the Dolphins as a wideout. I signed with Florida as a wideout, and we both wore the number 89, and we became great friends. And ironically, we talked about who was going to have the best 89. And for a while there in my career, I thought it was pretty good until I got to my senior year, in which I switched back over to running back because I had two pretty decent wide receivers, ex-high school quarterbacks, playing quarterback at the University of Florida. That was Terry LeCount, who also played for the Niners, and he was a great high school quarterback. And he played wide receiver in the National Football League for the Minnesota Vikings, and Chris Collinsworth, who I happened to recruit out of high school down in Florida, and he, too, turned to be a pretty decent wide receiver in the National Football League, believe it or not. So those two guys were my quarterbacks at Florida. And, you know, so when I look at my high school career, I think it was the launching pad for my receiving career.
When you take a look at the fact that you played both successfully as a running back and a wide receiver, it certainly does attest to your athletic ability, but how difficult was it to make the transition back and forth between the two positions?
I think it was pretty easy. Once I got to Florida, I understood how to play the game, and certainly having made the transition from running back out of high school to wide receiver, the one thing that was sure, I was not scared to take a lick. Because even as it goes today, most running backs that break through the line of scrimmage, you have some corners who are pretty good in the secondary that will come up and put the helmet on running backs. But then again, you have a lot of defensive backs who will turn down that opportunity to take that back head on. So I had lost the fear of contact playing wide receivers strictly because I had played running back and I was just used to the contact.
Was, you know, when you were coming up in high school, was it kind of a given that if you were talented in the particular state like Texas or Florida, that you were not going to get out of the state? Is that why you stayed in state and went to Florida?
Well, I think there was so much talent there in the state of Florida, even at that time, that when I went to the high school all-star game there, we sort of knew that Florida State was up and coming. Miami was not the team. They had Don Lattimore. They had Otis Anderson and a couple more players, but they were not the team that they became. Florida at that time was probably the better place to go in the state. And, of course, I wanted to stay around for my family to be able to see me play. And so, therefore, I thought it was a great decision to make it to the University of Florida. Make that my home. It was just an hour and a half driving distance away, and so my friends and family could see me play.
Tell me about the first time you met Doug Dickey.
We called him Tall Man. Believe it or not, he was about 6'6". And the first time I got a chance to meet him, he looked down at me and he said, "What?" He said, I want you to come to the University of Florida and become a Gator great. And I looked at him and I laughed and I thought, yeah, right, me, I was 140 pounds soaking wet, you know. And then he said, you know, you're not very big, but you know, somehow I think you can catch football pretty good, so we'll make you a wide receiver. And all of a sudden, you know, the thought of being a collegiate running back, it went out the window and making the transition. I felt I could catch the ball. I thought I had pretty decent open field agility. And it was just God's gift, really. It blessed me pretty well to be able to catch the football and track it. And so I made that transition, and, you know, it was a beautiful thing for me, just having to play in an offense high school-wise to be able to catch the football for the number of times that we had it offensively.
You know, I found a quote from you that I found very, I thought it was substantial. You were talking about when you talk to players at the college level, you say, "I tell them my greatest accomplishment wasn't being the third player taken overall in the draft by the New Orleans Saints, but being a two-time academic All-America." And, you know, not everybody would put those two together. Nobody, you know, some people don't have that focus of academics as well as athletics at the college level. What were the seeds of that for you, Wes?
I think the good Lord gives us all a talent and a certain amount of talent. So we start with a foundation. Some people are just gifted, and that's God's gift. And certainly you work hard to appreciate what has been bestowed upon you. And when I got to the University of Florida, I realized that there was more to life than God's gift. Certainly I was going to work my tail off to show my appreciation, and to try and keep it, maintain it, and try and elevate what he had given me. But at the end of the day, there was something missing, and that something was trying to accomplish something of my own, to say that I actually did this. I was able to accomplish something. And I knew that at some point in time, outside of God's gift in athletics, I needed to get back into society and function as a productive person. And so the educational piece became a very, very powerful and important motivating force for me. So I wanted to be able to be as good a student as I was an athlete. And so I started that climb, because at the very beginning it wasn't easy. I'm sorry to tell you that. But I made the commitment, and I wanted to hold true to that commitment. And certainly for me, it proved that I had accomplished something and gained something that had not been bestowed upon me. And so that's why I say it was my greatest accomplishment.
You know, it's going to be a lot of people around the world that are going to hear you say that, and they're going to say, what a sense of maturity for a kid that was, you know, just out of high school going to college. There must have been somebody that you felt responsible to that you didn't want to disappoint, or for you to have that maturity that planted those seeds. Who was that, Wes?
Well, first and foremost, it was my parents. And certainly the man who had taken me from a junior high school kid and molded me into the athlete that I was my mentor and head football, high school football coach, Baron Bud Asher, who had stints with the Raiders and in the National Football League, Cincinnati Bengals, had experience on the pro level, but it was back coaching high school football. And certainly it was great for me to be able to have that man in my life. But more importantly, I wanted to accomplish something on behalf of my brothers and sisters, and more importantly, my family in itself, and those friends who believe in me that I had some qualities other than just being back in the day. And back in that point in time, we had always been labeled as athletes. Athletes were dull or dumb. You know, couldn't put together they could do the X's and O's, but they couldn't do the pluses and the minuses. And so I was set out to prove that athletes could actually do some things in the classroom and outside of the sports arena.
We only have a minute before we have to break here, Wes, but I'm just wondering, as you coach now wide receivers at the University of California, and you've coached it in other college positions as well, when you give those young athletes that message, do you think they hear it today?
I know they do. I think that what gives me a sort of a nice position is in the simple fact that I've been there, done that. And the experiences, sometimes, you know, I laugh because, you know, they come in and say, "Coach, I saw you on Hard Knocks when you were coaching the Dallas Cowboys," or I saw your video. I looked you up, you know, the whole nine yards. And for the most part, it gives me a chance because it's the parents who know what the good Lord was able to do for me. And it's the parents who know a little bit of the history of Wes Chandler. And I'm fortunate because it gives me an open door policy with their kids. And so to be able to relate through the parents and directly through the kids, to make them aware that, hey, you know what, it's not about the image portrayed, but the character of the individual that you're going to be most remembered for when it's all over, said, and done with.
Wes Chandler is with us on Sports Byline. We're talking with him about his fine pro career and college career as well, and we'll continue to do that as we continue across the country and around the world on Sports Byline.